Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. You're here with LaVon. Thanks for joining me. Happy October 16th, 2015. Really excited to be sharing the program with you this evening. We are here Monday through Friday at the same time, 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern time. Monday through Thursday, we share with you what's going on in the world. We discuss in-depth current events, and we're happy to do that. But on Fridays, we like to delve into topics deeper, and we also like to talk about solutions. And I have two special guests in the studio tonight, and I'm really excited / horrified because of what they've been through, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. More importantly, we're going to dive into the system that is the police. We talk a lot about police brutality and how it's just like a... It's a visualization of the suppression in the country. Like, the people who are protecting and serving us no longer get paid to do that. And my good friend Micah's here. Go ahead and say hi, Micah. Tell everyone hello.
How's it going, guys? My name is Micah Coleman.
Not Micah. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. It's all good. People say Micah all the time. But, yeah, thank you guys for having me on the show tonight. I'm really excited to be here and hope you guys like what you hear.
And that's what the Anti-Media does, dude, is we talk about things that you normally wouldn't hear, and people like it. And we also are joined by a gentleman who would like to be referred to as, what's your name on this program, sir?
I'm Flipping Abstract. That's what I do.
This is Mr. Flipping Abstract, and tonight's program, we're going to talk about your guys's first hand account. Both of you are fathers. Both of you are hardworking men who do a lot of amazing things in the world. But something happened to you over the weekend, right? You guys, I'm going to give you each your time to talk, but just a little overview. You guys had a moment, you know, we'll call it an adult fit. We all have our moments of emotions and outbursts, and your ladies called the police to keep the peace.
Yeah.
Both of your girls love you, and they realized, oh my gosh, we're arguing. We're not being righteous as adults. Let's call the people who we employ to protect and serve us to keep the peace. And it resulted in both of you going to jail and experiencing horrible, heinous
circumstances.
But in just saying, like, I can't wait for you guys to tell us how you were treated. If you're open to it, share with us what you can. Yeah. But more importantly, where do we go from here? So who wants to go first? Please go ahead and tell us what happened. Your first-hand account.
All right. Well, Sunday in the morning hours, about 10:30, by the time the cops showed up. So we had probably been arguing for about an hour. And, you know, of course, lots of mean, horrible things were said to one another. And, that, you know, that's always crappy because you're just upset and you don't know how to express yourself properly and you don't think that she's understanding you and you're definitely not understanding what she's saying at that time because you're on fucking furious mode.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah, oh, man, you know how it happens.
You know how it goes, everybody guys. Knows how come it. On, you know how it is.
Yeah. So you're trying to keep up with that argument and keep your level just above where she's at so that you're trying to push your agenda a little bit harder, but it's not winning because with a family, you got to remember that it's all about the family's goal.
Being as one.
Yeah. And so not just you. It's not all about just you at that point. You have family, so you got to be about everybody that's there in the entire situation. And sometimes, you know, shit happens and you can't think about that at the moment because whatever, and you're stressing about you for a second. Damn, how often does everybody stress about themselves? Not all the time.
I like where you're going with that, dude. You so know, I can relate, definitely.
So, okay, so now the cops show up, and immediately, instead of going, hey, how's it going? You know, can we talk to you over here for a second? That'd be nice and easy and gentle and, like, try to relax the situation.
Right.
Instead, they come at you hard as fuck, gone.
No F-bombs,
oh,
please.
Sorry. Whoops. They just come at you.
F-bombs, dude. Uh-huh. The struggle's real.
Sorry,
people.
It is.
Two and 5 minutes. Sorry, interwebs. Okay, go ahead.
So, they just come at you so aggressively. And
drew weapons, didn't they?
Yeah, shortly after me declining my ID, because I asked, What are you charging me with that you need to see my ID while I'm on my own property?
Right.
So you're upset. You're not. We're not cooperating. Kind of.
Yeah, we're already having this little spat.
You're like, why am I being detained? Like, what crime are you suspecting me of committing? Like, you know.
Exactly, and
that's exactly what I said. Because thinking about me the same way, you know. Mm-hmm.
To your home. They came to your home, like, aggressive immediately.
Yeah, and guys, like, so I don't mean to interrupt.
It's okay. We can share together.
I live in a gay community and with my wife, and it's just me, my wife, and our daughter up there. But, I mean, the funniest part was like, they came out there, and we were outside. The cops got called, you know, and they came up to my house, you know, which, like, it's just, it's like one of those places where you don't argue and stuff, so instantly, like, they saw us out there, and they put me in handcuffs right away, and that dude, they were aggressive, and it was just uncalled for, especially because I'm at my own home, like, and you know, and it was just.
Here's a radical idea. Here's a very radical idea, and something that I keep turning in my head since we've talked this morning. And what if the police were trained to defuse situations, and they're actually therapists and doctors, and they're not just weapons and detainees. Man. Imagine if they come and they literally counsel you, or they doctor you, or they, for God's sakes, protect you and serve you.
Yeah, right? Instead
of what would be different if they were, hey, gentlemen, we understand you're having an argument with your lady.
Right.
We're trained to hell into these situations. How about we all go sit down and figure this out?
I think police are just a facilitator, you know? I mean, obviously for the law, but, I mean, they just kind of help, make a good thing out of a bad thing. I mean, because almost every time, like, a person that's got arrested for what they did, you know, like, after that, they do feel a lot better, you know, because, I mean, and it does, like, people never, ever, ever want to go back there again.
But
like,
you guys were detained with serious criminals.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I'm concerned with is...
Yeah, actually, a guy killed his cellmate while we were there.
Yes. See, this is the problem I have is you guys are obviously having some sort of turmoil, right? Because you're having an outburst, right? An argument's an outburst. So something's going on that needs to be addressed. For you, it's your personal thing. My point is they've taken somebody who needs help and they've made their situation more stressful. Now you got to pay all this money because they're making money on you. Oh, you know, they're making bank money on you.
Well, I'm not making money when I'm in there.
No, you're not making money and you're in a hardship now and you've experienced horrible things, which we'll get into. I've got some crazy details from what it's like in there. So let's back up. Okay. So you didn't get protected or served. You got apprehended.
Immediately apprehended. And so, you know, as most male adults, if somebody's coming at you very aggressively, you're going to become defensive real quick and go, no, this isn't how you do it.
Right.
And so I denied them my identification and they didn't like that. And they tried to say that, oh, we could have eased the situation because you were aggressive with us when we showed up. It's like, you rolled onto my property trying to do that.
Oh my God.
So, long story short, they put me in the back of this car for a good hour. It's 100 degrees, and I'm sitting in the back of a hot cop car.
Where were you parked?
Oh, I was parked just right out in the sun. Just right out in the sun. Why not? Man.
Were the windows down?
Oh, no, I had to scream to these officers.
So people die all the time locked in cars.
And they just ignore you as you're going, hey, I'm hot, I'm melting, I'm sweating profusely at this point. My shirt was soaking wet.
Oh, my.
And then they accused me of using drugs because I was sweating so much. And I'm like, are you kidding? You guys just put me in a back of a hot cop car for hours. I asked for water. Oh, no, you can't have that. We got to get to the next stop. Oh, well, we got here, and they don't have any water for you, but you got to go over to this place real quick because they're not going to accept you at this place because it's something that you said.
Yeah.
And so now you got to go do this little thing before you can go do this other thing. So we got to put you back in the car, drive you from – so I went from Lemon Grove. They dropped me out to downtown county. Then they said, oh, we can't put you here, so we have to drive back to Lemon Grove, pick up the other dude that was originally on the case, then take you over to some place in Old Town, talk to some doctor because you said something stupid while you were upset and angry and having a terrible day. It was a terrible day. And they're just perpetually making it worse. And all the while, I'm asking for water and just being denied at every turn. I told one of the officers that, you know, they had me in the back of a cop car for a good 2 hours before I was able to get out again, and my shoulder was all locked up because I've had both of my hands behind my back for a good while.
Oh, man, yeah, my shoulders were killing me.
Yeah, isn't that, oh, man, it hurts so bad, and so I wanted to stand up and at least, like, let my shoulder kind of try and relax, and I couldn't even stand. No, you got to sit back down. You know, who do you think you are? I was like, what? I'm not going. I'll put my face against the wall. I'll do whatever you want. Just please let me stand up. Nope, you can't do that. Yeah. Oh, wow. So then, after all the doctor stuff, they finally take me back from Old Town, downtown, bring me back into county, start the same process that I was there 2 hours ago starting, and talking to the same exact people, and then they take you back. And because of the things that I said, they put me in a rubber room. And I don't know if, you know, they say the padded room or whatever. It's not padded. This shit is hard as, it's super hard. It's, and they're pumping AC into this tiny little room. They give you this little dress thing that you get to put on. And it's weighted. It's a little quilted. But it is by no means completely warming of a human body. So this room has one door, two little slits out of it. Okay, I get that, you know. If I'm a criminal and you don't need to be able to see out and hassle a bunch of people, but at the same time, I also had nothing to sit on other than the hard, cold ground, and there is a hole in the middle of this room with grates over it, and that is your bathroom. This entire place, as you walk in, is covered in spit and mucus and all kinds of nastiness. Food that has pubicle hair all over.
Pubicle, sorry.
Yeah, oh, man.
Pubicle.
Yeah.
Why is there pubicle hair, I wonder?
I don't know. But all that pubic hair, it's just
jungle fever.
It almost looked like this one room in the corner, it just looked like somebody grabbed a bunch of his hair off of his crotch and just like threw it. I was like, what?
Oh my god.
It was nasty.
Yeah, there was like a big fat kid that like peed all over himself and was like rolling around in it and like, oh man, it was like.
And that's if you have to go through the regular rigmarole of getting your whole process started. I was on a different level than where he was at, but having to hear the stuff that these guys went through for 3 days, some of them sitting in this lockup waiting to just get into a cell. 3 days on the floor, getting moved from place to place to place. So, but anyways, after all that, finally getting into that rubber room.
When did you finally get water?
Oh, that's what I was getting to.
Okay.
I get into that rubber room, and I'm asking the guard, hey, you know, before as they're putting me in, can I have a cup of water or something? Hold on, we gotta take care of some stuff. Okay, cool. But in a couple minutes, whatever.
Oh man.
Close the door. So then I'm waiting, you know, trying to be patient. I'm hot. I've been sitting there melting, for hours and hours. And the first officer to walk by that I could actually see. Oh, that's another thing is they took my glasses. I'm nearsighted, and they took my glasses at the very beginning. And said,
"Oh my God!" So you're like going around some circus.
Yeah, like, blind. You can't even see. And they're yelling at you because, "Oh, you need to go over to this place." What? I'm sorry. What?
Where?
Place?
Where? What are you talking about?
It's this number on the wall. I can't see the wall, dude.
They're all follow the red line. You know?
Yeah. Okay, I can see that blur. Sure, that's a line. But
it was traumatizing. Man.
It is, and you feel like such trash,
and you feel like. Like, such, like, panic, and that, like, oh my god, like, who's gonna know that I'm here? Who's gonna care? Like,
yeah, and like, they don't allow you to make contact hardly. So the first officer to walk by says, "Would you like some Grey Poupon?" And I was like, well.
So he's taunting you.
He's taunting
you.
Yeah.
And you're literally, like, begging for water.
Yes. I'm sitting there just asking for water, and
because it's been how many hours?
At this point, it's been a good 4 to 5 hours just going through the whole process before I got into this room, and that was in the back. They just know it's you're not important enough. Whatever we're doing is what needs to be done currently, and you don't matter. You don't matter. Sorry you're sweating profusely and, like, possibly about to pass out in the back of our car, but we can't give you a little bit of water. So he taunts me with the Grey Poupon, and I say, no, but can I please have some water? Oh, you want some Grey Poupon?
Oh, my God.
And so I start yelling. I start yelling because I'm upset. You know, I'm aggravated. I just asked you for water, and you're going to go, no. Then another corrections officer walks by and goes, what's your problem? And I was like, boy, I asked this dude for water, and he makes fun of me and taunts me because of whatever you guys have written down on a piece of paper about me.
Wow.
You don't even know me. And to be denied an additional 6 to 7 hours, so this is almost 12 hours without water at this point.
Wow, dude. It's inhumane.
It is inhumane.
And And
terrible.
I had
especially
to wait
because it was so hot.
Oh, yeah. It was. It's been record hot, like outrageous hot.
Like 90s, yes.
Like hundreds.
No, it was near literally 100 degrees that day.
It never gets like 100 degrees in San Diego.
Not San Diego.
Like, oh man,
it's been hot.
And in October.
Yeah.
So you didn't have water for 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling mentally at this point?
Oh, I was so drained and confused about how I even ended up in this situation. And the rubber room is an immediate 24-hour hold in this spot. So overnight, I'm here in this cold, cold, freezing room. I ask, hey, can I get a blanket? No. Hey, can I get like a little extra something just to keep a little bit warm? Because I'm literally freezing. I had this other guy across the way from me. He had said to one of the officers that he wanted to hang himself. And so his punishment for that was the rubber room. But on top of that, he had to be naked for hours in a freezing cold room.
Yeah.
And he's begging for some warmth. And I'm having to listen to this. And I'm literally feet away from this guy. But I can barely see him. He's a blur to me because I don't have my glasses. But at the same time, I feel for this man. I feel for him so deeply, like because of the way that he's trying to express himself to these people and being denied some basic thing like warmth. And so he's banging on the door and banging and banging and banging. And I wanted to take my jacket off and hand it across to him. Yeah. But I know that I can't even do that. And I dare not ask one of these corrections officers if I could take off my warmth to give it to another, because then we might both end up naked in two separate cells, banging on doors just to beg for something and be denied.
Yeah.
A basic need like that.
So
some water and some warmth. I'm supposed to be in a shelter. You're supposed to be protecting me at this point because obviously I needed the help. But that's not help.
Right.
You're breaking this person down mentally.
Well, I think in a lot of times, like, you know, that's the deal though. Jail doesn't cater to the individual, you know, like in particular, like, because yeah, what happened to us was like unfortunate, you know, and honestly traumatizing, and you know, but we got. I mean, both of our cases, this is the funniest part about our story, they both got dropped completely.
Because it was stupid.
It was like a mutual thing. Like,
yes. We were just having a loud label. Discussion.
Yeah,
and then
pretty
you get
much.
This label. Oh, the label that they... Oh.
That they give you, man. And you already feel like a piece of crap,
so
right?
So tell us what happened to you.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll continue to the end of both of your stories.
Hey guys, my name is Micah. So I was arrested Sunday, the
same day,
11th.
The hot day.
Is that the
11th? Yeah, we were both on
Sunday. Sunday the 11th. I have a wife and a daughter who is 11 months old. But yeah, Sunday the 11th at 9 o'clock.
In the morning too.
At night. Yeah. I got arrested. Like I said, outside my house, and the funny part was my wife and I were arguing. And they came and they talked to both of us and ended up taking both of us to jail. Luckily, I mean, it's not funny, but luckily my mother-in-law had been there because she was there to take care of my daughter and stuff. So, but, you know, when I got there initially, you know, I was thinking, oh my God, this place is filthy, you know, and then I was so, so upset and just, I mean, because as a father for me, I mean, just being there is just such a, you know, for me, I mean, kind of goes without saying, right? Jail is like the all-time low, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to be there.
Like, ever, you know?
You don't want to be in jail.
Supposed to be wanting to go.
Yeah, no, for real. So when I got there, I was like, man, dude, like, I am such a dirtbag. And I was, to be honest, because anytime you go to jail, like, most of the time, there's probably somewhat of a good reason, you know, like,
yeah, but in these cases it was over an argument,
right? But like I said,
that's what we're we want to get to too.
Yeah, that would be cool if like by you know, like by the seriousness of like your charge, you know, they put you in, like, nicer parts of the jail. Like, one room, if it was mm-hmm. just, like, a dumb misdemeanor, you know, nothing
like
big.
Like, jail-level jail.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd have, like, a couch in there with TV, and then, like, if you did, like,
it's
a
like
felony
a
or something crazy, they put you in, like, a place
and
with just concrete benches.
And there could be therapists or
yeah.
resources or whatever.
Oh, and the...
What if you went to, like, a hospital, you know?
Most of these places reek of...
Or, like, a community center.
Poop and pee and... You can see literally see the nastiness that has just been there for days
and days,
and you're wondering how is it that this was allowed to continue? That they would allow people to just walk into this cell day after day after day, hour after hour, and not walk in and go, hold on, can we get it all cleaned up? Like, these
all
people are locked up. Hand
I was innocent.
Rag and hand them some cleaning supplies.
I was
like,
innocent.
We'll get it all wrapped up.
They Rodney King my ass, dude.
Yeah.
Man, that was such a crazy experience. So, like, being there for 4 days, and in the end of it, I mean, they didn't even call me in the court. Like, they called me down, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna go see the judge and find out what's going on. And then I get released that night, and they're like, the DA and nobody wanted to press charges or pick up charges, so...
Yep.
I was like, oh, okay, like, so I just went through all of this, you know, for 4 days, like, it was smelly, man, if you guys could see what I look like, I'm not cut out for that place.
neither one of us are.
Yeah,
dude,
and
I'm
not, like, saying, like, but, I'm a pussy, dude, but I just, I'm kind of, like...
No, it's a completely different
pretty
world.
Pretty boy status.
It is such a different world that you're stepping into with some of these people. Because some of these people are there with their gang charges and their murder charges and their,
right.
We were selling this and we're doing that. And it's like, well, okay, yeah, there's an obvious reason as to why.
And we go for like a domestic dispute.
Yeah,
like...
but then they label you as a wife beater.
Oh,
like, even
yeah.
the corrections officers are trying to automatically pin you as a person that hits a woman.
Only if you get charged, though.
Yeah.
You know?
But no, but they treat you that way even from the second you come in without even getting to the court yet.
Oh, well, of course. They deal with so many people. Like, they don't have time to weigh out the pros and cons. Like,
no,
they got
just,
a job to do, you know?
Yeah,
it's true. And that's part of the problem is that it's become such an industry.
That is, like,
that
just programmed.
It's a factory. It's the same way we
yeah,
birth babies. You know, the doctors have lost their compassion because they're like, oh, if I cut this woman open and rip her baby out, I can make more money. And
yeah.
then I can plan it. It's the inmates are treated the same way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why am I going to take the time to birth this man or rehabilitate him
right.
when you can just cut him out?
Good analogy.
It's the same thing, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line, guys, jail sucks, and it would be my second time ever, and yeah, my life, I'm 24, which I think one time is too many for anyone, but, you know, some good did come out of it, and I met my friend here, and
yeah,
we shared, you know, camaraderie in there, because...
what did you guys learn, like...
What did I learn, man?
So you have to, okay, so...
What did I learn?
I learned a lot of things.
Flipping Paint was telling me that there's a lot of race politics, obviously, you know, that's been portrayed on the telly.
Oh, yeah, that's been there
forever, for years,
and there's, and that's not going
to
change.
So you
gotta,
you kind of, like, are forced to bond based on your color. What does that feel like
coming from a melting pot? Yeah,
it's so funny, too, because,
I mean,
like, when you very all, first
yeah.
get in there, like, it's okay to be... With, like, you know, people of different ethnic backgrounds, and you can, like, laugh with them, and
it's cool.
Whatever, you know, yeah, and it's cool, and no one's even looking twice at you, but then a few hours later, when you actually get to where you're going, like, you need to, like, you know, program yourself to be a person that you don't want to be,
but
it's for your safety.
Yeah, because,
so.
I mean, I can usually go and hang out with anybody anybody yeah. from any background and just be cool and just, hey, how's it going? How was your day? What did you do? Let's, oh, that's cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. you do this? Oh, that's neat. I kind of do stuff like that too sometimes. And
if it wasn't race, though, I mean, it would still be gangs. You know? Oh, yeah. So mm-hmm. it's not mm-hmm. even like that. So a lot of times it actually doesn't have so much to do with your skin color, because hardly ever, I think, in the jails, there's not much race riots that happen, like, in jail, you know? I think
not in county.
No.
Not so, in county, so, but in the pens? Oh, yes.
But gangs? Like, oh, all day long.
Oh,
like,
yeah. You know, but like, that still ends up based upon race at certain points, because most of these gangs split up and segregate that way once they're in the pen.
Yeah.
Just because of the way that it has all been so deeply ingrained in their heads years after years after years. And it's being perpetuated by these corrections officers in these places as well. And something has to change. We have to help our fellow human beings. We can't sit there and treat each other like dogs and expect them to come out being beautiful unicorns and super happy citizens again. It's not going to occur.
So get this. The United States has locked up more people than any other country.
Oh, yes.
You know, the watchdog of the world, the land of the free. The
taxes, man. That's all
it is. Yep. They got to get their money.
500,000 more people more than China. And they're saying that it costs the same amount of money to send a child to Princeton as it does to incarcerate them.
Wow.
Did you know that? There's a difference of like $2,000.
Wow, that's incredible.
See.
So who's getting rich off of this?
Well, I think if you look at how much debt our nation is with other countries.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, it's no wonder why, you know, they'll arrest you for jaywalking in America, but like you go anywhere else in the world and
But hey, let's send over another $1,000 million worth of bombs to this one country and just blow them up for no reason.
Yeah.
Corporate stockholders actually make money off of inmates. So it's part of the business, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes me sad because you're not treated as people.
Definitely
you
know? Not.
And you guys experience that where they're just
you're not a person.
Grab and stick in a cage and ignore.
Oh, and if you pipe up at all, wow, these guys will put you in your place. And you know what? They're the one with a freaking gun on you. They could do it, and they got six of them standing there with tasers and, you know, their batons and all that, and they're just, okay, waiting for a reason.
They just pass give me judgment the reason on everyone. It's just like, you know, but, I mean, like, if you were a doctor, right, you couldn't, like, I mean, you couldn't become emotionally, like, involved with every patient, you know, as far as, like...
You can't.
I mean...
I've worked in a healing center where there's
that was a bad one. I should have used something else, but...
No, I'm just saying...
No,
but
you can't.
On
I
that
know
level,
doctors do get honest.
Here's the thing. Even I became desensitized.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would see the same injuries over and over and over.
Exactly.
It could be compared to repeat offenders.
Like
where
if
you're
like, an EMT and you see the
you
same
see
injury
the
all
the
time.
You see the same laceration.
Yeah.
Eventually you're going to go, oh, that tissue doesn't bother anymore. That protruding tissue, I'm cool with this. Oh, I gotta poke you a bunch of times and steal your blood?
Right.
Okay. Like when I was first in medical school, it was hard for me to physically poke someone and steal their blood.
Oh, really?
But then it just became something I did.
Wow.
So, like, I'm trying to understand their perspective in the sense that they get desensitized.
Yeah, they're...
But how do
I don't
you
have
deal
a problem with cops, you know? I respect what they do, and they have a job to do, and I have a job to do.
Exactly.
You know, and I could have been a cop if I wanted to. Anyone can, you know?
Yeah.
It's like... But,
I would do it so much differently.
No,
than
here's
way.
The thing,
yeah,
though.
That shows a different like career path. I mean, like I said, it's my second time in jail, but it was kind of challenging to be a young, you know, successful entrepreneur, you know, and I mean, it's just and to be labeled, you know, I'm respected by people that definitely have credibility out there, and in whom I take pride in our friendships and, you know, in our relationship as business partners or what have you. And it's like, when you go to a place like that, like I said, I'm kind of around people that have established themselves a lot, you know, just,
yeah,
it's the circle. I just click with, but these cops, I've never met anyone else in the world more arrogant. I mean,
right?
And it's like, dude, anyone can do your job. Like, you're not like, you know, some kind of celebrity, like all-star dude. Like, I don't know. They think they are the shit.
They are, though.
Like, because they got a gun on you. They are that big because they have that power, that gun behind you when you got your hands cuffed and you have nothing else to say because you can't defend yourself.
Yeah.
They've got you. They got you by the balls. And there is, so you keep your mouth shut and you go, okay, sorry. I will stick in line.
What did you learn? What did you learn from being there, especially in regards to your relationships? And
that you need to talk it out. Just talk it out. There's got to be another way. And if you are yelling and screaming, walk away from the situation for a few hours, minutes. Just take a break. Go somewhere else. Or one of you has to take a break.
We need to have a universal like safety word for people in arguments, where no matter what, it would diffuse. Like, we need to have, like, as a humanity, we need to come to a point where we could throw out a word and it would instantly be like, okay, we're cool.
This one's a classic and it's timeless, dude. Happy wife, happy life. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Like, indeed. I'm, dude, you know, like, as men, I think we just have to take the BS, you know, that women, no offense.
Let's talk about it, though.
Women get hormonal.
Oh, and, God, can I tell
especially
you?
After kids, and, you know, oh, when gosh. That time of the month it's, comes around, I hey, mean, what?
It's not easy being a woman, you know why?
And I have so much respect for women, because I, Lord knows, I'd give up.
You poor guys, no you poor guys, it's so hard for you. I do, no, I get it. Like, you literally do not experience the world the way that we do.
I know. Even if you're not high maintenance, you still got to be high maintenance. Like, women got to take care of the stash. Like, like everything.
Well, I mean, they don't have to. But yes, like the armpits,
like on a regular basis. Like, can you imagine having to shave your armpits so much, dude?
As a guy, it's not even something that you think about because it wasn't ingrained in your head that guy or girl, dude.
Like, there are guys that do that too, though.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But there are the women that have realized, like, this is something that's being pressured upon you by society. And yeah. For what? It's obviously something
self-esteem.
Natural that happens.
That's all it
a
is.
A lot of girls so suffer with body image. Like, oh, yeah. Can you understand, like...
The most gorgeous women
I've
ever met
woman,
in my life.
And I didn't know I was beautiful until I was, like, issues. 24. After I was a mother, after I had stretch marks and my body wasn't rock hard anymore, and I realized, like, holy moly, I made a person. Okay, I conjured a human. That's cool. I birthed them, and now they're independent of me, and they do all these amazing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very empowering to be a woman when you're not suppressed.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you guys are woman suppressors, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying society kind of grows us to kind of be against each other.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of a complicated existence because I think that we're kind of subconsciously programmed to play roles.
Yeah.
You know, and we kind of talked about this earlier, like the man, oh, I'm prideful. I do this, you know,
yeah.
And the girl, oh, I'm going to be in the kitchen making food and making babies. But our society has grown past what's innate and instinctive, mm-hmm. and now we're kind of swapping roles, and I think that it's kind of hard for what's
for
been programmed
take,
by society versus what's we're
actually
doing.
Well, men have always been like...
It's like she's saying, it's instinctual for a man to just want to be that breadwinner
right.
and want to be the one that's out doing the thing
and
to
dude,
provide
men,
for the family.
It's genetic. Like, it's in our blood, our DNA, like... It's evolved with the cavemans to what it is now. Like, you know, it's like, you really got to, that's a deep one. Because you got to look back. At how long has man provided for women?
It's mutual.
If you even believe in the Bible, it says that man provided a rib to help this woman be created.
Yeah.
So obviously we were meant to be a provider of certain
you
religions.
You shot that from the hip.
Oh.
That was the most amazing.
No, trust me. I do these studies
the
because
truth,
sometimes people will come up with the most ridiculous things about their religion.
Menstruated wife, so.
And it's like, wow. But yeah, at the same time.
But it's funny. You think I came from your rib, but you still came from my womb.
Yes, indeed.
You see, it's all connected, and that's my point.
Yeah. I'm actually the Messiah, so I came
from. I was just conjured and.
Yeah,
there I am.
But,
No, but my point is that our societies kind of pressure us into being separate entities when this is kind of our closing story is that you guys were brought into this situation by separation, but you came together. And I want to hear about how you guys ultimately fronted each other and...
Yeah.
Well,
sorry, we have a studio guest playing soccer. That's enough soccer, please. how did you guys friend each other, and like, what came out of this not good time, quote unquote? You transmuted it, and you know.
Well, I mean, we met in the same cell. They put us in fourth floor, which in county is an interesting place
for sure. I think any place in there is interesting. Oh, I was like, get me out of here, man.
Yes, but. So we have very little time where you're out of this tiny little 6-foot by 10-foot cell, and you can actually go and walk around 40, maybe 50 by 50 little cell.
Yeah.
And there's tables in the middle, and you can sit down or you can walk around.
Yeah.
And chat.
I think I started talking to him. Like, we started talking, you know, because I was, like, asking for help with the phone, you know, like, how to use the phone.
And I had just tried to figure out something with the phone, and I was, like, reading the paperwork because, because it's, there's so many little tricks and tips that these people, it's not even written down on the side of the thing.
Right.
And so you have to ask the other inmate, excuse me, do you know how to do this? And so, do you know how to work this thing? And so, some of them will try to assist you, but others, you know, you look at them the wrong way or you say the wrong something, and they just, what do you think you're doing? Don't look at me. Don't talk to me like that. And you're just like, whoa, okay, I'm sorry. Like, I was just trying to figure out life here.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I didn't want to talk to anyone because, I mean...
Well, yeah, no, because like you have, you know, your position and what you do.
I mean, I just, didn't go there to make friends, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, those are not the kinds of, but that's the thing.
Oh, we're getting a call. Let's see, guys.
Oh.
Hey there. Hey, welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hello?
Uh-oh. Hold on one second.
Yeah, we're trying to find the volume. Oh, no, we can't hear you.
Oh. Ah! I guess we're having technical difficulties here.
Hold on.
It's okay. Call us back if you can. Call us back. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. So, where were we at? We got all excited about that phone call.
Oh, man, I have no idea.
You guys were talking about how you friended each other.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. So I asked him how to use the phone, and he was like, yeah, man, I'll show you how it's done. Dude. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And then we just started talking and hanging out. And
reading the newspaper together, because they give you one
newspaper.
Yeah,
we talked about, like, why we were there, why it happened.
Oh, the disgusting food. We talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know? we're all...
Like, what we're going to eat when we get out.
Oh, yes.
But, man.
It's so interesting. But once you finally break down and you're like, okay, I can talk to a person here. Yeah. I need to talk to a
person
here.
I met one of the coolest guys ever, and that's the reason why we're out here, you know.
Yeah, having this little conversation with you all.
Relaxing.
Exactly. So happy to be out of some place like that where they could treat you so little and you're nothing to them. You're absolutely nothing to them than a barcode and a piece of meat that they have to move from cell to cell.
Yeah.
And man, the way that they
it's
talk to you is so demeaning and
but it's all in the past. It was the worst 4 days of my whole life.
Yeah.
My wife obviously bailed herself out with my money, so that was all cool. It left me there, which was cool. But
you learned a lot.
Well, it was probably because of what the
I did learn a lot.
So here's the thing, and as the woman, I think it's important to note that
it made me
the officers make you feel like you're doing the wrong thing. They immediately plant a seed in your mind saying, you need to put a restraining order on this. What are you doing to your family?
Well, some of it is supposed to be like constructive criticism, you know, and I think for people to grow and to better themselves, they have to be able to accept constructive criticism. And
absolutely,
that,
but they seem like antagonists more than helpers.
And there's a certain amount of truth to that.
Oh,
That's my point of tonight, is that a lot of the things that we've all experienced could have been avoided. And could we scale this up on a bigger level? Like, think of all the wars happening right now.
Oh,
you know what I mean? What if it was a disagreement, literally, that could have been prevented?
Yeah,
man.
You know, it was, essentially.
It was.
And everything you experience on the micro level, you experience on the macro. The massive level, the big scale.
Indeed.
Nothing hurts more than being away from your family, like, especially your baby girl, if you got kids out there.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, when you're sitting in that cell and you're with your thoughts because you don't really want to talk to the dude underneath you because he's kicking heroin.
Right.
And is barely awake anyway. So you're just like, well, I'll stick to myself. And you're thinking about your family. That's what you think about while you're there, because that's...
Because everything's such a culture shock that you can't really think of anything else, because you don't relate to anything or anyone in there.
Was it like a meditation in a sense?
It was,
Oh, yes.
It's like kind of, man, it's hard to explain. It's like whatever things, I wouldn't say like what your fears are, you know, but I would say something along those lines that is almost like your like pet peeve in a way. Like, picture whatever your pet peeve is and having to be surrounded in that or by that, like,
force. It's a tiny little miniature hell that you're shoved into for X amount of days.
And a lot of people are not all there, you know?
Oh, man.
I mean, wow. You have to really be able – you got to be a smooth operator, dude, when you're talking to some of these, like, weirdos. Because if you –
one second they could just snap.
Yeah, if you give them, like, the wrong impression, like, you're coming at them, like – like sideways or whatever, like,
yeah,
they might just like crazy.
We had just gotten there and they were telling us about two dudes Friday night were in a cell together about to get released. One of them was a younger kid, probably about 23, 24, and the other was an older gentleman. Apparently neither one of them were quite all there, and they were still in the same cell together. An argument broke out between the two of them, and this young kid stomped this old man's face in until they couldn't hardly recognize him. The corrections officers sat on the other side of the glass watching this occur. Didn't walk in, try to break it up, anything. They banged on the glass, hey, stop it. Hey, stop it. And other people are around witnessing this. And it gets passed cell to cell to cell to cell very quickly, because there are people that are trustees, because they're in county for a little while and they want to do work for the county because they don't want to just be locked in a cell the whole time. So I might as well go around and learn stuff and be able to talk to all my homies and do this and that. And so they learn things, they hear things, and they spread it quickly. Mm-hmm. And information gets passed. And so you're getting – you know, live footage, basically, is as live as it can be in this place.
We need to get these guys a Skype and a reporting account.
Oh, I'm about to blow this place out the damn water. I'm going to change this system. It's disgusting the way that we treat our human beings that are going through a tough time. And it's got to change. There's got to be a better way to do this, a much better way. But when we met up and we were finally getting out, they even still screwed us around then.
So both of our cases were dropped, right? And at 8 o'clock, they start doing the first round of roll-ups, which is when you roll up your all of the crap that they gave you while you were there and throw it in another pile, and then they start your process of getting out. The process of getting out takes an outrageously alarming time that is just it's disturbing that they could say that this is how we do it, and that's normal.
Yeah.
They had 40 of us at this nighttime, this last minute before the counts, whatever, we have to get you out in 10 minutes. Well, okay. So you guys had hours to plan this, and you're waiting until 10 o'clock to roll everybody out? Okay, that's on you. Like, you guys fucked up. That's your schedule.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, so then they stick 40 of us into one cell, and everybody stinks, and they're changing in and out of their jail clothes that they've been sitting in for, some of them, weeks, you know?
Yeah.
No, hardly a shower. Some of them are homeless and don't want to shower because if they rub that stank off, then they go back out and they're going to get all kinds of other stuff. And so, I don't know. And then there's the crazies that don't want to shower. And then, ugh, it's so nasty. It's so gross and so bad. And then, okay, so it's hot and you're in these cells and people start to get aggravated because it's taking so long. And then there's these people yelling at each other and wanting to beat the crap out of each other. And you're just trying to stay cool, hoping that they'll allow you to get through the process a little bit quicker. Just a little bit quicker. No, we'll wait until all the trolleys have stopped running. We'll wait until it's really difficult to get out. And if you didn't have anything on your person when you went in, oh, how are you supposed to get anywhere? How are you supposed to call? And you have no money or anything. And, you know, they give you a bus pass and a trolley pass if you had less than $5 on you when you went in, which is, hey, thank you. At least I can try and get somewhere, maybe.
Yeah.
But you have to wait until the trolley starts running because we waited until 2:30, 3 o'clock to let you out. And so this whole time you're going through the process, it took us almost 6 hours from the time they rolled us up to get actually out of the jail. And my boy Micah, we were chatting the whole time because, you know, you're just trying to stay safe and not get hurt and not aggravating anybody. And so you keep quiet and to your little zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
when I don't know people, you know, I'm not antisocial, but especially people like that. I mean, I'm just not gonna.
You don't want to step on toes.
Well, I'm just not gonna.
Literally,
I don't associate with people like that, so I'm just not gonna reach out to people that, like, I don't even care to know in the first place. You know?
Right. And so but to be put into that, and then sometimes you meet somebody.
And right. And that's like, the thing. Wow. Like, you keep an open mind, and then you meet someone so cool. And I mean, we had lunch today together. We drove around.
We had a great time.
It was awesome. Like, I love these guys so much, and they're going to be like, you know, my family, our wives are going to be like best friends, and, you know.
But baby's going to play together.
Yeah, baby's going to play together. Yeah,
you awesome. Guys really inspired each other and me earlier with your ideas. Can you tell us a little bit about things that you do besides having this crazy experience?
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, my name is Micah Coleman. You can find me on Facebook. I have a fan page as well. I'm a professional skateboarder, so a pro athlete. I skate for Red Bull, Volcom, Oakley, Nixon, Ethica, Nike SB, and Diamond Supply Co. But
that list.
Yeah, you have to memorize those and say it. Like, yeah, it sucks. You can actually be fined if you don't, like, when you're like, doing...
That's your job, though.
But yeah. That's awesome. So they pay you to keep up on that.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's part of the job. But anyway, I mean, aside from that, I work with Diamond Supply Co. And I have ownership in the company. So the founder and I, Nick Turche, it's a clothing company, skateboarding-based. It started 1998. But the owner-founder, Nick Turche, and myself, we'll come up with different concepts, and you know, our stuff is pretty abstract in itself. You can go ahead and check it out at diamondsupplyco.com. But yeah, I mean, It's stuff, you know, you just gotta check out. It's the best stuff out there, bottom line. But, you know, it speaks for itself. You guys Indeed. Should go check it out. But anyways, yeah, I just skate. I have a family, you know. I live in La Jolla, California. So, I mean, this whole thing for me was, like, kind of really, like, life-changing. I mean, this sort of thing doesn't happen to me very often. And
It shouldn't happen to people very often. No. And, I hope it never happens to either one of us again.
Yeah, and being somewhat, like, of a public figure, you know, to people out there and to...
You want to set a good example.
Yeah, you do.
I do. I'm not perfect.
Absolutely. That's... And as a father, more importantly,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like...
So that's the next gen. We need to step it up for them. We need to change it for them, because if they go into a broken system that we've seen, then we're perpetuating it. We're allowing it to occur. We need to change it, because you do have status, and right. you can make a difference. If you tell these kids that something needs to change, there's a possibility that they will take it open-heartedly because they look up to you.
Especially, you know, if you're passionate about something that you do and you make that, you know, your love and the passion, you know, it's just like people respect that. And if they see you truly putting 100%, like truly putting 100% into something that you love, whether it be gardening or your relationship or, you know, for me, skateboarding, it's just one of those things that, like, what you put in is what you get out, and how you portray yourself is ultimately how others perceive you. So,
indeed.
I mean, at the end of the day...
Well, a lot of it depends on them, too.
It does.
They're only going to gather what they can.
You can't lead a horse to water. Or you can lead a horse to water, but you can't get him to drink. You know? So,
yep.
But I really...
But the goal is, all it takes is one, you know?
Yes.
Just one to get that...
The ball rolling. Once you get the ball rolling...
Like, if in a million people... Only one could take something from, like, what I do for a living or you know, how I am with my daughter or anything in the world, you know, like, how I skateboard, whatever. I mean, it's like, if they can take something from that and be inspired or our struggle and our perseverance through it.
Yeah.
If a million people don't get it, but one does, I mean...
It's worth it.
We're going out tonight, then. No, drinks on me. No.
Right.
But, not near police. We're not doing anything.
No. Right.
Nothing violent.
No.
Compassion. We talk a lot about compassionate communication on this program. And if you guys want to check out nonviolent communication, it's very useful, but only if you practice. And
yes.
It is a practice. And it has really good, awesome, awesome tips to help diffuse situations. And I would like to make it my personal mission to have all the officers that carry a badge to protect and serve learn such a tactic.
Indeed. We need to have people out there that are willing to calm you down, talk with you, have
help
a discussion.
And then rehabilitate you. You know, if you have a drug problem, let's help you so you don't get... But that's the thing. It's profitable. It's a profitable system.
Indeed.
But that's sad. We should make money other ways, like on our creative minds.
Yeah.
And the beautiful art that's inside everybody, because everybody's an artist, whether you write, whether you paint, whether you talk with passion, whether you...
My boy Micah here is an artist with a skateboard.
Dude, you grind
things
on the earth and defy gravity.
That's funny.
Yes.
I know. And
you're a magician, bro.
And you paint, and that's so cool, because, like, we, as artists and what we do, like, we create, like, a foundation, income, you know, stability, respect for the things that, you know, we're just doing with our hands. Like, we're generating cash through, like, for you, because you paint your hands, but for me, like, my feet.
You are a machine. You're a converter. You exchange your life for dollars.
That's cool. Like, especially, like, musicians, too. Like, their hands are, like...
Like
money making machines, which it's not always about money, but
no, but
it is nice when you're just doing what you love, you know. Like,
yes, we should all be able to do what we love, and we've got to figure out a way for our society, this multi-billion-trillion-dollar society, has got to be able to figure out a way for us to all be able to create, so that. We're not stuck doing these rigorous repetitive jobs over and over and over. We've got machines that can build houses now.
Well, I think,
what are we doing?
I think everybody needs, like, you know, the outside support.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. So,
thank you guys for joining us. It's been a great hour. Catch us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and next Friday as well. Bye, guys.